This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 207, Sudden Impact from 1983, the year I was born, all right? And the crazy thing is this is the fourth installment in the Dirty Harry franchise. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is...
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, so I'm not going to bother even asking you the question, but actually, I seen this once when I did the actual watch through of the entire, when I got it on DVD. Okay. This is my second time watching part four and five. Once we hit Deadpool, that'll be the second time you're watching it. So with that said, let's just jump right in to the critics and audience have to say about Sudden Impact.
Okay, so this one is pretty much in line with the last movie. It has a 57% critic score and a 54% audience score. So, you know, it had that downward trend. I don't remember the Enforcer score, but it was in this ballpark. I know that. It was in the 50s. So this one didn't take a big dip down like the others did from each other, but just middle.
But it's even though. I mean, it's 50-50 around there. So, I mean, it looks like the audience and the critics are in the even slate in terms of the film. But let's get right into it, because this actually is a good topic to talk about, because the third movie, we said it was solid. It was like a normal action movie. Yeah, very generic. Now, does the fourth movie break that trend, and do they give us something new with Dirty Harry, a new storyline? Well, we're going to find out. Let's get right into this movie review. Started off again, lead character, Dirty Harry, Callahan Harry. Nate, what do you got?
I mean, he's just as good in this one as he was in all the other ones, to be honest. The one thing I could say about these movies all the way through is that the lead character is always the same in all of them, in a good way. You know what I mean? Not in a bad way at all. In a good way. They did not, like, all of a sudden, from one movie to the next, he became, like, horrible or stupid. We've seen that happen in other movies where maybe they either downgrade the character or, like, they just start doing stuff that doesn't make sense. Or, you know, this guy's been the same for all four movies. Now he's a little older. We're out of the 70s. We're into the early 80s. And I think Clint Eastwood, again, obviously he's great in the role. There's the, you know, there's... I bet you he's kind of playing a version of himself, that kind of gruff, you know, guy anyway. But I think the character is good again. You know, I will say he's less jokey than the last movie. In the last movie, he had some like one-liners and stuff. This one has like no humor. It is like very serious, kind of dark, especially compared to even the last two. So I thought he was great. I gave him a 5. He didn't take any downgrade for me at all.
Yeah, look, when it comes to this movie, you're absolutely right. This one took the DNA. They extracted the DNA from the first movie. This is Clint Eastwood from the first movie. I mean, the first movie, he had a lot of his one-liners that made it famous, like those famous quotes. He brought it back in this one. He said, "You make my day." When he had that gun in the guy's face, he was just like, "Make my day, punk." And I was like,
Great line, by the way.
Oh, it's a great line. I mean, he said it like if you just came out of the... Like, he just woke up and said, "Make my day, bro.
Go ahead.
Like, this is...
Make my day."
Yeah.
I feel like that's the more famous line from him than the first movie, to be honest. When he said it, I was like, oh, shoot. I've heard this in way more movies than "Do You Feel Lucky, Punk?" You know?
Well, there's other lines, too, that I really enjoyed. Like, when he came back with the coffee, he goes, "I've been coming here for 23 years, and she gives me the same black coffee. And today, she just gave me sugar.
I came back to complain."
Yeah, he goes, "I came in to complain. And look what I see."
Yeah.
"Crooks." And I was like, oh, my God. Right there, and I would have dropped my gun. I would have like, I was like, I loved it.
Nope, sorry.
He goes, "You're not walking out of here. It's just me and my..." He goes, who you with? He goes, "Smith and Weston and me."
That was the best. He's like, "We're not letting you leave." He's like, "Who's we?" He's like, "Smith and Weston.
That was one of the best lines in the movie, dude. I was like, wait a minute, that's like a badass line for him to say, "Smith and Weston and me." And I loved it anyway. But in terms, you're absolutely right. The character is the same throughout the whole movie. Very cold. You really don't know what his like manner. You really don't know what is going on in his mind. Like what makes him tick. And I love it. Other than that, I gave him a 5.2. Now let's get to the main villain here. Right. This is a gang.
Yeah, it's a gang, and this is a funny one, because This is like, there's a lot of villains in this movie. Technically, the gang is the villain and the lady is a villain. Because he gets sent to solve this murder and she's the murderer. Like, she's killing people. So technically, she's the one he's after. Now, once he gets involved, that kind of changes. And it's this gang of guys. Well, they're not even, at first they're not even a gang. They're all separated, right? But then there's this one guy, the one like main one, and he has like these gang of guys. And then it's them against him and her, right? Yeah. So on the whole, I gave it a 4. I actually liked the villains in this one better than in the last movie. And maybe even the one before that. Because these guys felt really evil to me more than in the last couple of movies. I thought she was great while watching it. If it didn't turn into what it turned into, and literally she was just going around killing people and he's trying to catch her and he doesn't really know it's her and then it turns out it is and whatever, I would have loved it too. Like, I still would have thought it was great. But the fact that it kind of turns to this other group, I'm also okay because they're all horrible. This one has a lot of, like I said, it's a lot darker than the last two in my opinion. The first one is like a pretty dark movie. You know, you have like a sniper who's randomly shooting people, shooting kids, shooting, that's dark. The second two are more kind of what you'd expect from an action movie, you know, a hit squad that's killing criminals. That's not that dark. And a domestic terrorist, which would be darker if they weren't kind of goofy. You know what I mean? Yeah. This one is like not goofy at all. So I can't give it a 5 because I don't think there was one, you know, like standout villain. And it, because it's, we've already talked about this. I don't love when it's like big groups of people. But I thought these were good. They were menacing. They were scary. They were evil, very evil. And I dug them overall, so I gave them a 4.
I'm with you on this. I gave it a 4 also. They were really good. Look, they raped her. Her sister, they raped her. They put her in a mental institution because she was just out of it. She was in shock, I guess. That's what it was. She was in shock from the whole... Yeah, traumatized. And she just went out for a revenge. And I was like, holy crap. Now, I agree with you. She is the villain. But technically, the guys raped them first.
Yes,
so 100%. Pretty much. But yeah, so the group of guys, they were okay. You know, they were all right. I mean, when you see the flashbacks of them raping both of them, I'm like, they're terrible people.
You want them to get killed anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. You're just like, you know what? I want Harry to get in this business. Yeah. But the crazy thing is, one thing that got me a little bit, well, I'll say before for storyline.
Okay.
But in terms of these villains, they were really good towards the end. When they found him, they killed his best friend. Another guy that hangs out with Harry gets killed.
Don't be friends with
this guy.
Don't be partners with him. Friends with him, you'll die.
Yeah. Shoot, they slice his throat. They even kicked the dog and he got mad. The hooch that his best friend gave him. Then what other stuff did they do? They killed the Commissioner Gordon. They shot him up. Yep. Right? They killed him, which he played a commissioner in this one too, which is funny. Yeah, so they did a lot of villainy things, and I thought it was warranted to give him a 4. I kind of agree with you. They are way better than the villains in part 3. Villains in part 3 were just so bad. Yes. They were really bad. And one of my favorite scenes. Oh, I'll wait to overall to say it, but I agree with you. Okay, with that, I give it a 4. I give it a 4 with you. I'm with this. Okay, action scene.
All right, we're going to get another slight tick up from me, at least. I gave the action a 4 this time. I know I gave it 3 last time. The only reason is, nothing in here is, like, there's a memorable moment, and it's at the very end when he shows up at the, like, pier, the boardwalk, and he's standing there in the shadow with the gun and the music is going, like, this is what I want. Like, this is exactly what I want. And then he blasts all those guys. It was awesome. But again, all you get here is some Clint Eastwood punches, which are, like, not, his hand-to-hand is just, like, arm back punch. You know what I mean? Like very old Hollywood throw a punch. It's not, you're not getting fight choreography here, but he punches some guys. There's a lot of shooting. The reason I'm giving it a 4 though, is there's way more action in this one than in the last ones. Like there's a lot of talking for sure. Don't get me wrong. This one's kind of long. This is the second longest out of the 5, but there's like constantly death happening like kind of throughout the whole movie. And one thing that I like that they factored in with the action, where the action factors in is, you know, in the last two, I was talking about how all this random stuff happens and I hate it. It's like he just randomly goes to the airport and stops the guys on the plane. He just randomly goes. This time they made those random things like make sense. And for example, he has, that guy has a heart attack, right? He comes and he does that thing that and he funny, guy has a heart attack. But then that guy's guys are now coming to try to kill him randomly. So even though it's not like a main plot point, it makes sense why all these random dudes are trying to kill him. The kids from the, you know, that he arrested earlier, that the guy that got off, and they throw the Molotov cocktails in the car. And like, it makes sense why these things, but they're all coming after him. He's not really going out of his way. Besides the diner scene in the very beginning, he's not walking into some place and randomly doing something and then leaving. You know what I mean? But a lot of shooting, a lot of deaths. I mean, his body count in this movie, it's got to be the highest that it's ever been. In that diner scene alone, he killed like four guys. Those three guys in the car with the cocktails, they drove them. They're definitely dead. That car sank all the way down and it was on fire. Then all the guys at the end on the pier. Then she killed a bunch. Like, there's like a lot of dead people in this, and I love it. Give it to me. Kill them. You know what I mean? Like, this is what I've been waiting for. So I can't give it a five because it's still very generic. It's still like punch like this and just shoot like this and, you know, nothing crazy, but it's good. I actually like the action quite a bit, so I gave it a four.
Yeah, you know, again, I'm with you on this one. I gave it a four also, the action sequences. Okay, so they're, I mean, dude, that sequence at the end, when he shows up in the dark and he has that pose, I was like, bro, I'm talking. Yeah, he has that really new good. Magnum 44 automatic Magnum gun that he was explaining.
Auto revolver.
Yeah, he shot through walls and got them. And I went, oh my God, you dudes are done. Loved it. I was like, yo, you know what? That's pretty cool. Now, there was certain corniness, right? When he stole the retirement home bus and he's chasing the car.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of corny, but I was like, it is what it is, right? You got, again, when he was getting chased by the dudes with the cocktail. I thought that was really hilarious. The scene that they jumped him and he's trying to fight back is one of the worst fight backs I think I've seen in a movie.
Horrible.
It was pretty funny.
It does its job, but it's not good. It does. Like, it's not very well executed.
And then they kicked him off the pier. I was like, this dude would have been out of commission at that age. I thought it was hilarious. Hilarious when he gave that old man a heart attack with blank pieces of paper.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what made it even funny. He
he walks in and is like, do you know the emergency number for Saint whatever hospital? She's like, yeah. Okay. And then he goes and he just had nothing, just blank papers.
Yeah, he just wanted to get a rise out of him. And yeah, so I mean, the only thing I will say is, again, with the randomness, though, wherever he goes, something happens, right? He goes to get himself a cup of coffee. They're robbing the damn restaurant that he goes to grab coffee. He goes to do something else. Guess what? There is someone there waiting for him. Like, even when he went to walk right into the car, the limousine came and started shooting at him. And I was like, man, movie...
But at least there was a reason.
No. I mean, I agree. Yeah,
they showed in the movie why those things happen, except the diner. Yeah. The diner is the random one. That's like totally random.
It was very random there. But other than that, look, I'm not even going to lie. Even the girl shooting dudes, two shots, bro. Chest, head.
She shot him in the nuts. That's it. She shot them all in the nuts and then shot him in the head.
Well, the girl was chest, head.
No, the bad lady, she shoots him in the balls and then she shoots him in the head.
No, I know. But I'm saying when she killed the lady.
Oh, the lady. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, she was like, how's your sister doing? And she shot her in the chest and then shot her in the head.
How's your whore sister? I was like, shoot her. Shoot her three times in the head, please.
Yeah, I was like, shot her in each tit and then the head. Exactly. Right there. So banga, banga. And then right in the head. No, but other than that, look, I think it was really good. I gave it a four for great. You gave it a four also. Storyline.
Again, this movie's good. I don't know what happened here, but there's a lot I like about this movie maybe it's just compared to the last two. This one felt more like the first movie to me. I didn't read the reviews. You know it got those scores. This is not as good as the first Dirty Harry movie, believe me, because in overall, I do have there's some things, but it had the right tone similar to the first movie. I like the storyline a lot. You got you have Harry. He's, doing Harry things, right? He's kind of going around the law. Not really, but he pushes it to the limit, right? And then you got this girl who, like you explained, she was gang raped 10 years ago, her and her sister. Her sister now, like, can't talk, and she's, like, in a mental institution, and she's going around getting revenge on the man and the woman, the one woman who set it all up, and the men who did it. And I love how she's doing it, by the way. That's justice. I'm for it. Great. And then you have him trying to find her, but not knowing he's looking for her. And then you get the whole thing, right? Like, It's a good, a really, really, really good storyline. So again, I'm going to give it a 4. I think it's really strong. It's not a 5. Like, it's not the most perfect crime thriller, but they stick with the only thing I would say in the storyline where it kind of goes off is that he lets her get away at the end. You know what I mean? Like, and I get it why he did, but he's supposed to be super duper, you know, law guy. I mean, he'll kill you if you try to shoot him, but he's still, but he lets her go. Maybe he's softening. He's a little older. That's okay. I give it a pass because she deserved to kill all those people and get away with it. So, yeah, I give it a 4. I thought it was really strong.
I think he let her pass because that cop place is the one that let them go free.
When she said that, you know, is it justice that they get to walk free and blah, blah, you could see a kind of a look in his eye. And he was like, you're right. That gun was on that guy.
Run those prints. You're going to see.
Run the ballistics. You'll see who shot him.
Yeah, I give it a 4 also. I enjoy this one for what it was. I thought it was really good. I did like the revenge story. I always love the good old revenge story. I'm not saying rape story. I'm talking about the good old revenge story. Due to cruelty to the person. I enjoy those type of movies because they deserve it at the end of the film. And I love when the main characters get thrown into a situation that it gives it even more. Because like the beginning of the movie, this guy, I mean, they did everything they could to get this guy out off the force, right? I mean, he broke every rule anyway known to man. And they brought back the lieutenant that you said, the Spanish guy.
Yeah.
They brought him back. So I thought it was really good. Look, in terms of the story, like I said, I like the revenge story. I like that she was the murderer. I like the way Clint Eastwood portrayed Dirty Harry. They had great chemistry. I mean, I know they were banging each other for real because they were girlfriend and boyfriend at the time. They were dating each other, I think, because she was in more movies with him. She was in The Gauntlet. I remember that. She was in The Gauntlet with Clint Eastwood. That was another good movie.
Sandra Locke.
Yes. The yeah, they were together in another movie also.
Every Which Way But Loose. They were in together. Sudden Impact. Let's see. The Gauntlet.
Yeah, I remember that.
The Outlaw Josie Wales, Bronco Billy. She was in a number of movies with him.
So. Yeah, so she was in until they broke up, and then he was like, you're not doing no more movies with me.
Get out of my movies. Yeah, and then she never had another movie, a hit movie in her life.
No, she was his Cheryl Moon.
Oh, God. Yeah. Better.
She was a better actress. Yeah, she was a way better actress. But no. All in all, I was very shocked that this storyline was 100 times better than the third movie. I ain't gonna lie with that. So anyway, we gave it 4 across the board. What is your overall score?
All right, here's where I have to give it a small dip for me. This movie, let's just say this. This movie had the potential to really get more 5s than it even did, to be honest. Because there are certain things that if they were slightly different, the villains, for example, the action was never going to get a 5 because it's just, you know, it is what it is, like the style of action. But the storyline, the problem with for me where I knocked off half a point when I was, you know, scoring it is the pacing in this movie is really not great. It really, really drags in the middle of the movie. Like, to the point where I was watching it and I'm like, this movie, again, it's like 8 minutes shorter than the longest movie, but I'm like, this feels longer than all the other movies. Like, by far. You had a lot of narrative thrust, you know, he's already there. And then it takes like a really long time for like the stuff to go down. And not only that, even at the end, like just certain scenes, like Clint Eastwood directed this one. He's a great director. Don't get me wrong. I will say this one is way more polished than the last two, in my opinion. I think the direction in this one is really good. It's really like, again, the best since the first. But even at the end, I'll give you an example. The pier, they're walking on the pier, right? And he's walking and the guy's holding her and he has the gun to her head. And this scene is like a minute long of him walking backwards and Clint Eastwood walking at him. And I'm like, these are the sort of things that when you fill a movie with them, they pad, like it makes it long for no reason. Like, I don't need to watch them walk down a pier for a minute. Cut that to 10, 15 seconds. We get it. Cut back and forth. And then he goes down the alley. Small things. It's a lot of that though in the movie, especially in the middle, a lot of stuff that's just like felt tacked on. So because the pacing was, it was pretty bad. I gave it for me, it's a 3.5 instead of a 4. I was at a 4, but I had to mark it off because I was like, they could have really made it lean and mean. And instead, it's still mean, but it's not that lean at all. There's a lot of fat on this thing and unnecessary, in my opinion. So a 3.5, but don't get me wrong. There's a lot of great things in this.
Yeah, look, when it comes for me, I gave it a 3, a solid 3. I thought it was a solid film. I do agree with you. There were certain points I was like, man, this is boring. I was like, this is some boring. This is boring. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the whole storyline was great. I think the action sequences were great. Certain scenes worked very well together, going from point A to point B. But then there was a drag between the middle. And I was like, oh, man. I was like, this is not good. I couldn't give it a great, to be really honest with you. I was like, there's no way I could give this a 4 or 5 because it was really boring. Like, really boring. I was like, man, this is, and I'm not, and again, I like the story and everything, but there was just boring parts. Like, I was like, why did Clint decide to keep this scene
here? It should have been trimmed. It really could have been like, if it was 90 minutes, this movie would have been like amazing, probably.
Yeah. But I think take away the him going to the other apartment, his friend, killing the friend, made no damn sense in the movie.
And too much showing like that lady, that crazy lady and the guys. And it's like, you don't need that much of it. Honestly,
yeah. Really him going to the bar made no sense when he met them and he kicked them in the face. I was like, that had nothing to do with the movie except that they were the people that raped the girl. But I was like, that had nothing to do with Clint Eastwood's character at all. Like, it just made no sense. Like, it just made no sense at all. So I was just like, eh. So with that, I gave it a 3. I thought it was a solid movie altogether. All right. What's your total point?
Yeah, for me, the total comes out to a 20.5. I mean, this was surprising. I was worried. You know, we talked about it last time. I was like, this is like Roger Moore, Bond all over. These are just going to get worse and worse and worse. And then all of a sudden, this one I liked better than the last two. So at the moment, my second favorite, I thought it was strong, 20.5.
Yeah, look, for me, I gave this a 20 out of a 25. You were a point higher than me. I was shocked, dude. I'm shocked. Because again, when we look at franchises with fours in it, in terms of action movies, it's very rare to get a really good, solid movie. Yeah. Lethal Weapon 4, solid movie. This movie, solid movie. Rambo 4, excellent movie, right? Yeah. Die Hard, Live Free or Die Hard, solid movie, right? Yeah. And then when I'm trying to think, Terminator, excellent movie.
We liked it,
We loved it. A lot of people did it. So there's, it's very hard.
I think there's more good part fours than part threes. I bet if we did like a real deep dive, I bet.
I mean, there may that could be something that we could tackle on a future episode.
Yeah.
Maybe we could tackle something
like
that.
We'll do like a special Action Movie Guys special podcast where we do a comparison of part threes and part fours and see which one is really better. Because based on everything you just said, part four, all those part fours, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me some, you know, Die Hard with a Vengeance. And I love me, you know, but I'm just saying, those are all great part fours as well.
Yeah.
And this one was way better than part three.
Oh, this was way better part three. Rambo 3 compared to Rambo?
I don't even like Rambo. I didn't like Rambo 3. Rambo is 30 times, but it should win just off that.
Yeah, right. No, but I agree. That could be something that we could do in the near future. But other than that, so I gave it a 20. You gave it a 20.5. Nate, what is coming up next on the podcast?
All right. So next episode, we're going to be continuing on with our women-led action films, and we're going to be doing a little Tomb Raider 2018 version, not Angelina Jolie, which they're coming early next year, but we're going to be doing some Tomb Raider. And then, of course, next week, we are wrapping up our last Dirty Harry movie with a little bit of The Deadpool, which is the fifth and final installment of the Dirty Harry franchise. So those are our next two ones coming up.
All right, there you have it, guys. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast, or head over to the official website, www.geeksandflicks.com. Join the Patreon, watch your favorite episodes being filmed behind the scenes, hang out with us after the recording. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.